So, good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is our first sharing after Chinese New Year. So today is 25th February 2021, is a Thursday. We will continue from the book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 118. So we will continue from there afterwards. We will off the light now, and you can have your half an hour of awareness based meditation. So for the sake of those who may be new, I just give you some simple instructions so that you understand how to prepare yourself to develop the meditation. To meditate, we must develop the understanding of the meditative mind, the true mind. The true mind is our inner nature, our silent mind, before the thought arises, before the mundane mind arises. So without thought, you are already aware that is your true mind. That's why in the Mahayana tradition, they always use this word, 无念就是真心. Without thought, that is your true mind. So all of meditation, for those who have the understanding, is to realize this true mind, this silent mind within. That's why my instruction to you is very simple. To realize that true mind, technically you need to have the stability of training. The spiritual faculties must be very stable. And the five spiritual faculties will make you calm, peaceful, and tranquil. Then you can realize the true mind easily. But not all cultivator has the ability to develop the spiritual faculty until it is so stable. To do that, you need a lot of understanding. You need to have a stable daily religious routine where you cultivate almost throughout the day all of the religious dhamma activity, including puja, meditation, chanting, sharing merit, transfer merit, then silencing your mind to meditate, then developing the daily mindfulness throughout the day, and be aware, be attentive. That is how you develop it. But not everybody has that ability and understanding. That's why when it comes to meditation, most people teach you methods and techniques to anchor your mind, not knowing that these methods and techniques are just skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind, to develop sati or mindfulness so that your mind can be aware without thought. And that is just the beginning of meditation. The method or the technique has to be developed with understanding so that the mind can become very quiet, very peaceful, and very calm until the natural state of that silent mind or the true mind manifests, where you can be aware without thought. That is your true mind. So the fastest way is to understand that without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over. And what are mental hindrance? The Buddha described in the teaching there are five mental states that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. He called them mental hindrances or pancha nivaranas. They are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, doubt, and restlessness of mind. When you have such mind state, it hinders your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why you cannot meditate. That's the reason why most people think a lot. They are heedless most of the time throughout the day. And to sit and silence your mind to meditate is like near to impossible for them. So what you need to do is you have to understand the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. It has the mental hindrance. So what must you do? Do not resist the fact. Accept the reality. Then just let it be. If thought arise, let it arise. Whatever movement, let it be. If it's restlessness, the mind is restless, so be it. Just silent and find out why you are like that. How come without the spiritual faculty, the mental hindrance take over? And how this mental hindrance hinders your mind from entering the meditative state? How it stirs your mind? How it causes your mind to have this habitual thinking, habitual reaction, stirring and all this thing? And this is basically what meditation is. So you just relax, maintain awareness. Don't do anything, the four support, the first three. Relax body and mind completely. Then maintain awareness, just aware. Then whatever thought that arise, the heedless thinking, they will slow down on their own. Then you are patient enough. If you can allow things to be, let things be, then all this thinking will start to slow down, slow down, slow down. Then finally you will experience a quiet moment. It's like a sudden shift in your consciousness. Your consciousness like become very quiet for sudden. It's like momentary. Yeah. When you experience that, it's very good. Means your sankhara activity, your mental activity, your movement, your heedless thinking has slowed down and it has returned to its original state before the stirring, before the movement, before the sankhara activity. That is your true mind. So relax, maintain awareness and wait for this thing to arise. Then when it arises, don't be excited. Maintain awareness. The third support is for as long as you can, if possible, 24 hours. So first support is relax, body and mind completely relax. Means the thought is not trying to meditate or do anything, it just relax. Then maintain awareness means that true mind is aware. Yeah, its nature is just aware. It has no thought, nothing. So maintain awareness, just aware. When you are aware without thought, your mind is in sati. That is what sati is, mindfulness. When you are mindful, you are just aware before the knowing. As I relax, maintain awareness, and let the mind settle down. Then when it settles down, stabilize it. Let it remain quiet and still for as long as you can. Then after that, you can move it to your heart area to feel whatever heartbeat that you can detect or whatever vibration that you can detect. Stay with it. Maintain awareness of it. You can anchor your mind there, your awareness there, if you want to. And just let it be. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Just do that until that mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful, very stable. It must be a free mind in that state, not in concentration. But samadhi can build up. Samadhi is collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. So when the mind is collected and unwavering, that is samadhi. So just train your mind in this manner, and you will progress, and you will develop very good understanding of your mind, your mundane mind, your true mind, and finally understand who are you, what are you. All this is what the teaching is all about. We are supposed to be at a new subheading. Bodhisattva play effortlessly in the world. Their thoughts are free of greed, attachment, and hindrance. They are as courageous as lion and as pure as newborn. Okay, but before we really continue, I would like to read to you the last paragraph, which is very good. The page back. The process of learning the Buddha's way is just like learning how to navigate our life. Thanks to the guidance of all the great master boatmen, we are able to find our way. Thanks to the guidance of the great master, the Dhamma has always been intrinsic in the nature of every human being. This is very true. Means the truth, the Dhamma, has always been intrinsic in the nature of every human being. When the waves of desire, this is where things go wrong. Wave of desire are agitated, means craving, and the wind of ignorance started blowing, our ship will lose their way, and we find ourselves in danger. So ignorance and craving, these two, they are the cause of suffering. Without ignorance, there is no delusion. Without delusion, there is no craving, no desire. That's why when the wave of desire are agitated and the wind of ignorance started blowing, our ship will lose their way and we will find ourselves in danger. However, if we can learn to use the teachings of the Buddha. Next page. The teachings of the Buddha to contain the desire of our mind, then our ship can travel on a steady course to safely arrive at the other shore. So ability to contain your desire is to develop wisdom. Without wisdom, you cannot contain your desire. So this is very meaningful. So the true Dhamma is intrinsic within our nature. Our nature is originally very pure. And that nature already complete with everything inside. That's why we must connect back to our true nature to realize the truth, to awaken, to see things as they really are. Then we move on with the understanding to the next chapter. Bodhisattvas play effortlessly in the world. This one, I think, last sharing, we already gone through the meaning. That's why bodhisattvas are great beings that walk the bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. And because of their wisdom and their understanding, they can actually travel. Not play, the word play is not correct. They can travel or manifest effortlessly within samsara or in the world. Their thoughts are free of greed, hatred and delusion, or the author put it as greed and attachment and hindrances, which is the same, because the final result is when you are free of greed, hatred and delusion, you are free of hindrance, free of attachment, free of greed. But when there is delusion, there is this evils of greed, hatred, and delusion, conditioning the mental hindrance. They are as courageous as lion. So the king of animal is always depicted as the lion. That's why they call it the lion's roar. When the lion roar, all the other animals in the jungle, they tore the lion. And they are as pure as newborn, yeah, very true. Because their mind is very innocent. They are without the cunningness. They are without the negative tendencies. Like try to cheat or deceive or take advantage of people. They can't. That's why their mind are very innocent, very pure. They are very sincere. They are trustworthy. If we have the karmic causes and conditions to come to the human realm and are able to dwell deeply into the Dhamma and to understand the affairs of the world, then we should resolve to engage in spiritual cultivation, not only to benefit ourselves, but also benefit others. So this is a very important understanding. Here, when the author say we have the karmic causes and conditions to come to the human realm, means we have the good parami to be born as a human being. That's why in the Mahayana, they always say it's difficult to have the human birth. Zhen sen nan de. Then the other part is fo fa nan wen, is equally rare to be able to come into contact with the true Dhamma. So when we are able to have this condition, causes and conditions, and are able to dwell deeply into the Dhamma and to understand the affairs of the world, means understand life, then we should resolve to engage in spiritual cultivation, not only to benefit ourselves, but also to benefit others. So benefiting ourselves and also benefiting others is very important. So you only cultivate to benefit yourself means you are doing it like those of the what they call those who only strive on for their own self realization or enlightenment. They are not so committed to the Bodhisattva way to benefit other living beings, to take them all across, to liberate them from samsara. So that is the big difference. That's the reason why sometimes you can't blame those Mahayana description or teachings for saying that the Theravada tradition, the sainthood way, the arahant way, in a way, they zitu means they only cultivate to realize the enlightenment, their own individual enlightenment. They are not committed to liberate the other living beings. It's like it's nothing to do with them. Their urgency is to liberate their own mind. Finish. Cease. Like their job is done. But you go the Bodhisattva way, you have the condition and the understanding. It's very different. There's a lot more to cultivation than what they understand. So ultimately, it's the individual's choice. So here, for those who understand, the meaning is very deep. So you can cultivate not only to benefit ourselves, but at the same time to benefit others, to bring about the causes and understanding, to liberate all living beings. That's why the Bodhisattva vows, the four basic vows, the first one, we vow to liberate the limitless or countless living beings throughout the entire existence and take them all across to the other shore. The meaning is there. So to do that, you need to have that commitment, love and compassion, plant the seed of Bodhi, determine strongly that this is what you want. So you have to have that mind, the Bodhi mind, that is very sincere, with the strong faith. Then you have to persevere, determine strongly, aspire, persevere, then aditan. That's why you take the vow. You plant the seed of Bodhi deep into your nature, so that life after life, whenever you arise, whenever you choose to come or have to come, this understanding will be there. This Bodhi seed will be planted, so that it will nurture and activate whenever your nature arises through a form of mind. So this is how Bodhisattva cultivate the Bodhisattva way. That is how they arise the mind, which is a pure mind, out of love and compassion for living beings. They vow to come again and again to liberate them. To do that, they need to do the cultivation, the hard work. That's why the other three basic vow take its course. They vow to severe and endure all affliction. To do that, you must have wisdom, you must have understanding. That's why the third requirement is to perfect all understanding of the Dhamma, all wisdom, to realize and penetrate all Dhamma, leading to the perfection of them all, means perfection of wisdom. When you have that, then only you can fulfill the 10 parameters. So the last vow is you vow to perfect all the 10 perfection, to realize Sammasambuddhahood. So all these vows lead you along the way to walk this great Bodhisattva way, to realize your aspiration, your determination to become Sammasambuddha, so that you can really have that all-knowing understanding, the wisdom and virtue, the perfection of all wisdom and virtue, to become Sammasambuddha, so that you can have the ability to fulfill your vow, to liberate all living beings, to take them all across, and to have that wisdom to enable you to severe and endure all type of suffering or affliction. That's why you can go this way. You will never give up. You will never like halfway lost your faith, lost your way, and give up. The true Bodhisattva will not do that, because they already determined from the very first day, they determined to go this way. And the vow is very strong. Then after a while, this will solidify or crystallize and become very, very firm or unshakable. Then life after life, they will do it. They will have that faith, the sincerity and the perseverance to continuously walk this way and to perfect themselves, so that they can fulfill their vows. So that more and more beings can be taken across. Then the world will not be short of great beings, Bodhisattvas, Sammasambuddha, Without that, living beings does not stand a chance because there are too much work to be done. The living beings are countless. But great beings, Sammasambuddha, their numbers are still very limited. But over time, when there are more and more of these great beings able to come forth with the teachings, the understanding to evolve all this beautifully, then the world too will have a lot of beautiful great beings that are very unique, that can actually bring forth great condition for more beautiful things to take place, to be possible. So in future, there will be a lot of evolution of understanding, perfection, and cultivation. Okay, we go back to the sharing. The teaching known as the small vertical Dhamma, referring to Theravada tradition, are targeted at those with limited capability, those who have not yet developed the great aspiration to benefit others. See? Means you have not determined to go the Bodhisattva ways. It aims to first help people understand that life is full of suffering. That's why there's a noble truth of dukkha. And that if we go through cyclical existence, samsara, in the sixth rhyme, liu tao lun hui, the sixth rhyme of samsara, Mahayana, they condense the 31 plane of existence into the sixth rhyme because the heavenly rhyme is the rhyme that they include all the devas, the brahmas, and the formless rhyme. Whereas the other five rhymes below is the same. Below the deva rhyme is the human rhyme, the one maintained. Below the human rhyme is the demon rhyme, is also maintained. Then you have the pit, animal rhyme, yes, animal rhyme. Then after the animal rhyme, you have the petas, hungry ghost rhyme. Then finally you have the hell rhyme, avijja hell. Avijja is ignorant. Avijja hell. So these five rhymes, they are the same. Then they condense all the other six deva rhymes, 16 brahma rhymes, and four formless rhymes, the 26, into the heavenly rhyme. That's why they say they only talk about the six rhymes. This one, if you are within this six rhyme or 31 plane of existence, you will be within samsara. You will go through cyclical birth and death. Liu tao lun hui. So, according to the author, it is precious to be born a human, and even more precious or rare to encounter the Buddha Dharma, which is very true. Therefore, since we have been born as human and have encountered the Buddha Dharma, we should dwell into its depth and path and bathe the pure, clear Dhamma water. Yeah. All living beings should do that. With this, we can wash away ignorance from our mind. With faith that the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha can help us transform and attain salvation, we will engage in spiritual practice to liberate ourselves. So this is for the sainthood way. Yeah? The smaller vehicle, the initial training. After accepting the Dhamma, if we can open up our heart and experience great love, this great love is very important. Universal love, Ta'ai. In our interaction with others, then we can go one step further and aspire to serve others, to benefit others. In this process of helping others, we attain joy and learn to give unconditionally. Then it can be said that we are cultivating the middle vehicle. However, if we only serve and care for those who we already know, our intention to give unconditionally is still limited. As we enter the great vehicle, see, from the middle vehicle, you go to the great vehicle. This is Mahayana, the great vehicle. When we see people in difficulty, even if we are not connected to them in any way, we will still be willing to help them. Regardless of the distance and difficulty, we will still willingly go to them, undaunted by the difficulties. After relieving their suffering, we will guide them to understand wholesome practices and teachings so that they may attain peace and happiness. Now, this is very important. See, the way to train ourselves to benefit living being is very important. That's why the Bodhisattva way, when you understand, is very beautiful. Because you understand the Bodhisattva way, you will know how to make all the Bodhisattva vow, the aspiration, develop all the right understanding, cultivation, build up your karmic nature, spiritual nature, so that when you come as Bodhisattva, life after life, you will have this understanding, this teaching, and you will continue to grow as you continue developing this path and this way. So this is what cultivation is all about. You cannot do that. You cannot grow. So the first thing is to plant the seed of Bodhi, to have determination, faith, perseverance, aspiration, very heavy vow. Then determine strongly, life after life, whenever you arise, you must have this right view, right understanding and the cultivation. So that whenever you choose to come or you have to come, because you go this way, you take the Bodhisattva vow, you take the Bodhisattva way. So whenever you arise, you will connect very fast. You will receive the teaching very fast. And through that, you will have the means to help living being to fulfill your vow, to take them across, to do your work. Then, according to the author, the suggestion is also very good. You go back to the note and I will explain to you. So what she has suggested is, he said, we will guide them to understand. After relieving their suffering. So first thing is like Suji, they go and help relieve their suffering first. Then they will guide them to understand wholesome practices and teachings. This is teaching them the law of karma to improve their life, to have the right view, so that they will not go the wrong way like before, so that they can avoid all this karmic negativity, so that they don't have to go through or reap all this negativity or karmic friction, to experience all the suffering, the affliction, the misery. So after relieving their suffering, guiding them to understand and follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil is to develop all the wholesome practices and learn the teaching of avoiding evil through keeping of precepts and other things is very important. Then after that only you teach them how to meditate, how to develop and attain peace and happiness within their mind, how to be successful in life, just like what my nature has shared with you all, it's about life. When you understand life, you can live life, you can become beautiful, you can become a blessing to all. You can truly be a blessing to all. And you really can go a long way, not only cultivation wise, go a long way to do the work of the great being, a bodhisattva. You can do what you want to do in life, where that is your passion, that is your vow, that is your duty. That's what bodhisattvas are. They are there for living beings, where they realize their true nature, the non-self nature, the universal characteristics of form and mind, ultimately, no reality. When they have developed the Bodhi mind, they illuminate their true nature, then they can renounce samsara and just walk this way and perfect themselves and become beautiful beings. This is what great beings are, bodhisattvas are. Then I will read on, then you all will understand. As we do this, we gradually approach the great vehicle state of the great beings or great bodhisattvas. This shows how hard the Buddha worked to guide spiritual practitioners with the Buddha Dhamma, guiding us from the small vehicle to the middle vehicle and finally arrive at the great vehicle. Is the Buddha's way of teaching according to our capability or capacity. So this is how Sammasambuddha actually trained living beings. Bodhisattva act with a spirit of giving unconditionally. This is a very important virtue. You must have the ability to develop the spiritual understanding to give unconditionally. When we share things, when we give things, or when we decide something, to be a true bodhisattva, you must do it unconditionally. Do you know the meaning of unconditionally? Yes. You must not do it because that person is related to you, because you like that person. Or there is condition, yeah. He is my good friend. Or he is my cousin, my relative, my whatever, could be in-law or whatever, or my good neighbor, my colleague. So these are condition giving. It's just like some people can sacrifice if it comes to their spouse or their children or their brothers and sisters who are very close to them, they can go all out and sacrifice and do whatever to actually help them. So this is conditional love, conditional giving. To give unconditionally means you must have the Dhamma. When you have the Dhamma, you can do that. Because without condition, nothing happened. But because of condition, people whom I don't know, no affinity, no relationship with me, I may not know them, this life or whatever. But when the condition arises, my nature will know. Then I will help. Then sometimes people who may be very close to me or related to me through whatever, bloodline or birth or whatever, and sometimes even good friends or whatever. But when there is no condition, there is nothing my nature can do. That's the reason now. That is the meaning of unconditional. Unconditional giving, unconditional sharing. When there is condition to share, then you share. When there is no condition to share, you don't share. It has nothing to do with whether they are related to you or not, whether you impose a reason for you to share or to give. So the unconditional giving of great beings, bodhisattva, is based on the Dhamma understanding. When they have the Dhamma understanding, they don't choose who to share. Sometimes if there is no condition, there is nothing much I can do. That's why in the early years, when my wife told me and worry about my children, she said, after the primary school and early secondary school, I think after form two, they no longer go to Sunday school. So after that, my wife was worried when they grow up how. I said, you don't worry. You don't have to worry. They have their life, they have their condition, they have their nature. Let them live. When the time comes, when the conditions unfold, they will seek the Dhamma and they know what to do. So there is no need to like be very concerned or just because they are your children and all this. No. But you must have the understanding of the Dhamma to actually give rise to the understanding to see clearly when they are ready, then you can share this understanding. Otherwise, no point. You try to share, they feel that you are trying to convince them or you are trying to like force them to learn something that they don't want to learn. No point. That's why I let things be. Unless there is condition, nothing will happen. After all, it's not what you think, not so real. You know why or not so real? Because he know you, he know me. Everything is dependent, originating, condition, arising, causal phenomena. Each year you wait for, 如梦幻泡影, 如露亦如电, 应作如是观. Not what you think. That's why it's anicchang, dukkang, anatta. Empty nature of existence. He know you, he know me. Non-self, empty, no reality. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. There is such thing as a conditioned world that recognizes relationship. That's why it can become very confusing for living beings sometimes, because there are so many aspects to them. The ultimate sense, the Buddha teach non-self. He know you, he know me. Then when it comes to law of karma, it recognizes relationship. Then there is such thing as parents, children, fellow living beings, the relationship. That's why the five heavy karma, patricide, matricide, they recognize this relationship. Then there is such thing as arahant and other things. But in the unconditioned wisdom and understanding, no one born, no one die, no one sick, no one die, then there is no one to be enlightened. So when there is he know you, he know me, eh? Who is enlightened? That one is not you. That one is just a vehicle and a tool, a form and mind for you to come to this existential world. You can say that one is enlightened, the form and mind, but it's dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. It goes the way of nature. That one is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can grasp onto, hold onto, cling onto, and say, this is me. This is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. So when you understand all this, it's so beautiful, but it's not easy. Initially, it's rather confusing for people who just want to learn the Dhamma, seek the Dhamma. The said Dhamma has to be learned gradually, slowly. But if you have your past cultivation, then no need to slow. You can sometimes understand it very fast. And within short moments or short period, you can connect back to your nature and develop all this understanding. But no matter how, it still need time. It still need cultivation, perfection, to develop all this understanding, then to inherit your past cultivation, especially your spiritual nature. Karmic nature, the moment you are born, you already connect and inherit. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. But spiritual nature is different. You cannot connect immediately. You have to realize that through mind, meditate, connect back to your nature, and then silent, then going. Then only you can start inheriting your spiritual understanding, your spiritual nature. Then a lot of things will come back to you. But before that, no way. No way. But you will have certain special ability from your past life cultivation. That one, you can sense it yourself. Then it can allow you to receive teachings and other things. Because the way you give is the way you inherit. That one is classified actually under karma, karmic nature. You reap what you sow. But the spiritual understanding, you need to connect to the true mind. Especially to connect to your true nature. It's only from there when you develop the ability to realize that awareness nature, the silent mind, the true mind. Then from there, you can actually inherit. Then a lot of things will come to you if you have cultivated before. Then the realization will just happen. Just like this line, my nature, there are a lot of things and understanding that my nature has. I didn't learn from anyone this line. Then how did I understand them? Because I understand them through my past cultivation. That's how it comes. Of course, the initial condition that leads to all this is what the cultivation is all about. You need to have your karmic nature and your spiritual nature, especially your karmic nature. Yeah, that one is very important. It's so decisive that you must know how to combine all your understanding to evolve the causes and conditions for your arising. That's why I like this line, my nature, because it has that understanding from the past. It's like everything is already prepared by my nature early on. That's why my nature, when it arrives, it's like technically I didn't do anything. My nature just echoed and flow and everything unfold beautifully, as if it's already been planned. Then sometimes I used to share with people, if it allow you to plan, you also cannot plan it so well and so perfectly. Because that planning, so-called planning, if there's ever a word planning, is through the understanding of nature's law, involving power of truth, power of merits, spiritual understanding. Then all this, they combine. That's why as you cultivate, you evolve more and more. You have more and more understanding. Then when you apply them, then when you come, you become different. That's the reason why even Maitreya Buddha, he knew that this existence, my form and mind is different. That's why he made that request in the year 208 for my nature to share this understanding with the world. 请你把正法传下去. So that is very important, very beautiful, very motivating. So my nature was already ready. That's why I told him, no problem. You are the Sammasambuddha. You no need to be so courteous. Using the word please. Qing ni fa, zheng fa, chuan xia qi. I say you just instruct. My nature will be more than willing to do this job. Where this is something that the world will benefit. And it will cut short the cultivation of a lot of great beings, bodhisattva, in the future. And this way will continue to evolve and become more and more sophisticated and beautiful. So that future great beings and bodhisattva, they really can have all this special understanding. Bodhisattva act with a spirit of giving unconditionally. So that one I have explained what unconditional giving is. Even while experiencing the same suffering and walking the same difficult path as sentient beings, this is very true. They can still give unconditionally while experiencing the same effect. It's not the same suffering. They actually don't suffer anymore. But the effect of that condition means for normal people, it will have conditioned their affliction, their suffering. But they experience the same effect of such similar affliction. And walking the same difficult path as sentient beings means they go through life just like you and me. The only difference is they have the understanding of the Dhamma. They can endure. They can severe all this affliction and suffering. They don't have to suffer when there is no other way. They have to endure. They endure. They still have to endure, even though they are enlightening. It doesn't mean they can do magic. No, but they are very patient. They have the wisdom and the understanding. There's a certain harsh condition. Certain harsh happening, when it happens, the only difference between the great beings and normal human beings is they don't panic, they don't develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the restless mind. They don't like become very worried about things. They are calm, they are peaceful, their mind are tranquil still, and they know what to do. They will just endure and act and move. But because of their understanding, their karmic nature, their spiritual nature, they will know how to survive. They will know how to accept the reality and move on. So this is the only difference. But as far as life condition is concerned, they are no different from you and me. That's why we are still within the conditioned world, or we call it existential world, samsara. All of nature's condition is the same. The only difference is you have your karmic nature, they have their beautiful nature. That is the only difference. And they have the understanding whenever they come. That's why if you want to come, you better choose to become a great being, otherwise, no point. You come, you get yourself entangled and become afflicted and miserable. But most people don't have a choice. They cannot choose to come. They have to come. The meaning is very deep. Have to come is the law of karma, condition your birth. You are born out of ignorant avijja, paccaya sankhara. That's why avijja, conditioned rebirth, ignorant, death consciousness through ignorant, conditioned rebirth consciousness, then life form start again. That's the only difference. Apart from that, everything is the same. That's why the author says, even though the world is full of pain and misery and suffering, because of their joyful willingness to help living beings, to take them across, because of their sincerity, their faith, and their ability to persevere, Bodhisattva do not think of it as suffering. They are willing to do this work to fulfill their vows, to fulfill their duties. Thus we say Bodhisattva travel effortless in the world, not play, travel. They continue to come for the living beings. Effortlessly means they accord and flow. They don't have to resist. They don't have to get themselves into unhappy state or miserable state. It's like they just accord and flow without effort. That's why effortlessly. Just by shifting their mindset, actually this is true, because of their wisdom, they shift their mindset with right view, they accept the reality of what happened. Then they can endure. See, the author also used this word, endure that which seems unbearable for normal people. Face all the harsh conditions peacefully and overcome all obstacles without complaint, without negativity of mind state. This is what great beings are. This is what bodhisattvas are. That's why it's very beautiful. It's very meaningful. You have a chance to develop this understanding. My advice is, please do not hesitate. Go all out to develop it. That way you can stabilize this understanding, walk this way beautifully with stable understanding. You will have a lot of joy. You will understand what this great teaching is all about. Then I will sadhu you. Then my nature will rejoice and congratulate you to be another beautiful beings. To walk this way, the Bodhisattva way. Okay, we move on. To be a living Bodhisattva means 人间 菩萨, means within existence. One must not only be able to endure all things, but must also take on responsibility for others, because that is your vow, your duty. Bodhisattva cannot bear to let sentient beings suffer, so they vow to go among those in hardship to bring them care and comfort. Relieve their suffering and bring them happiness and joy. So that is your duty. That is what bodhisattvas do. Take for example, Cyclone Nargis, which hit Myanmar in the year 2008 and caused great devastation, brings suffering and hardship to so many people. Feeling for those who were affected, Tsuchi volunteers from around the world dedicated themselves to disaster relief. In fact, their effort was not limited to disaster relief, but also include helping those affected to replant over 50,000 acres of farmland. Oh, that is a great mission. After the planting, the volunteer also provided fertilizer for them. The relief participants were deeply touched and grateful for the help. So this is what Tsuchi do, and they can really make a difference to people's life. Look at how they diligently labored in the field, unfazed by the heat. It brought smile, full of hope. If the four elements remain in harmony and provide favorable weather, imagine how large a harvest they will reap, how much food it will provide, and how many people it will feed. This gift not only provided food for the moment, but every seed planted or produce new seed in an everlasting cycle. This was education True skillful means inspiring everybody's wisdom and creating the field of blessings for sentient beings. So this can be an example for relief worker, those who come and help to relieve suffering for people afflicted by nature's disaster. They can take off and allow people to have this understanding. Then later on, people will go beyond what they do, not only teaching the affected people how to gain back their life, it also helps them to build up the economy again, because that cyclone must have devastated a lot of their homes, their infrastructure, their crops, their products and all those things. It must have created a lot of havoc. So to get all these things back is not easy, not easy. That's why for those who have the condition to recently witness some of the happening in the world, especially in the United States, Texas, it was really a sad state. The whole of the United States, most of the states were not affected so badly by the so-called weather. But this state of Texas is very strange. I think it's a lot to do with coming through. The way the human consciousness of that state. I look at the map. The state is in the south of the United States. I think near to California and near to this Mexican border and all this thing. It was not even in the middle or north of United States of America. And now it's already February, coming to March. It's supposed to be the end of winter and the beginning of spring. Maybe on March 23rd is the beginning of spring. But it seems the weather becomes so severe and so harsh. A lot of snow just fell. Then they have this power outage, frozen pipe water. So the two basic infrastructure, the essential, what they call commodity that you need to have proper living, electricity and water, potable drinkable water, are lacking in many of these places. And people lining up for food, for water, waiting for electricity to come back. Whereas most of the neighboring state or even further north, they are not affected. One thing also because that state, the way they privatized the power grid, they didn't allow the national body to do the maintenance of the national grid. They go and privatize 94% of it, and this privatized company, I think, failed them miserably. And a lot of things didn't go right. That's why it happened. And there's a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. And on top of it, you have COVID-19. And vaccine also can't reach this state. And it seems the number of COVID-19 is very severe down there too. Weather condition very harsh. So even such a wealthy, strong country like the United States of America, they have such misery. They're experiencing such condition. But luckily they have a very good president now. So this president is doing all his best to help them overcome all this. Yeah? So he's trying to get them to work together by partition way of doing things instead of partition politics. Last time they were so divided. And the country has so much problem because of the what happened in the previous presidents, the way he run the country. So all this you can witness and see it for yourself. And the world is actually still plagued with a lot of very miserable condition. In fact, off and on, there are calamities here and there. We even have Myanmar. Now, the junta took over the coup d'etat. Then you have people demonstrating and all those things. Then you also have certain not so major type of earthquake happening. Even Fukushima, I was told. Then other places too. So all these are happening. Then you look at certain states, Afghanistan, certain part of Middle East, Africa, South America, they are having their own individual problems. So the world actually off and on has a lot of this type of affliction problems. So living beings are miserable, pitiful. It's not easy to actually give rise to condition to help all those who are afflicted and suffering. But we hope they can actually turn around and the government can help out. And whatever organization that has this humanitarian relief heart should go and help. And we wish them all the best. Wherever there is condition, let people manifest and help. Okay, we are continuing. We need to end already. We are almost coming to 10 o'clock. First, our volunteer gave of themselves and inspired gratitude, respect, and love in the recipients. Then this recipient in turn help other people. Isn't this teaching with love? Yeah, this is very true. When you receive help, aids, and love, you will have that understanding that it's very important that you can help others because you are the victim and you receive all this and you can feel the joy, the gratitude, and the love, the compassion, and you are grateful for what they have done for you. That's why you will have joy, contentment, gratitude towards people who will help you. Then you vow to do the same to help others. We are not meant to walk on the Ziji path alone, but to invite many others to join us. Now this is a very good way. Bodhisattvas practice among the suffering with thoughts free of greed, attachment, and hindrance. They give and give again, hoping that others or those who suffer will not only be relieved of their suffering, but also will be able to stand on their own feet and one day extend their hand to help others. This is very important. This can be seen in Suchi's relief effort in Myanmar, where the survivor actually became volunteers and learned how to benefit others. This one is very common, even in Indonesia, all over the world. After I saw even South Africa, African state, a lot become Suchi member after they receive aids and help from them. Bodhisattvas Bodhisattvas are also as encourages. Bodhisattvas are also as courageous as lion and as pure as newborn babies. The sutra described the Buddha speaking as the roar of the lion or the lion's roar. This is because the lion is the king of all animals, I have explained. His roar shakes the earth and awakens all animals. In the same way, the Buddha Dharma is the truth of the world. It can awaken all sentient beings. Therefore, it is called the lion's roar. Yeah, very good analogy. In learning the Buddha's way, it is not enough to simply understand the Buddha's teaching. We must wholeheartedly accept them and go among people, equipped with courageous perseverance. See, not only persevere, you must have that courage. Yeah? The mind of all sentient beings are full of the five poison. Now, this is very true. The Theravada teach the three poison. Here they extend it to five. Yeah? Greed, anger, ignorance, they include arrogance and doubt. These five poisonous roots are like a dense forest without courage and strict discipline. And without making use of the Dhamma, we will not be able to make our way through the forest. This is very true. Therefore, we must practice diligently and cultivate the necessary skill. Okay, we will stop here. Then I will elaborate a bit on what Man Yuan suggested, I think, 2 days back. Mayamitas, they pay me a Chinese New Year visit. Then, because of their sincerity and faith, they want to pay respect and make offering. Then we decide to have a short Dhamma session. Then I share this part, which is very good. We expanded on the three evil roots too, but mine is not the same as theirs. The five poison, three become five. I developed this to having this, what they call appeal, or the Mandarin words. The Mandarin words were very beautiful. And also many years back in the year 1987, 88, and near to 89, I think. When I met Master Xuan Huang for the third time, his visit to Malaysia, then I went for his Dhamma sharing every day. I recorded some of his tape. Then I heard his sharing and teaching of, he modified the five precepts into the sixth principle to live life, Liu Da Zhong Zhu. Then I saw the first three very useful. In fact, it's a very good way to expand on the teaching. He said, if you follow these six principles in life, you will be able to practice the Dhamma and live the good life following the Dhamma way, which is very true. So that day, I shared this. I told them, if you can understand Mandarin, it will help you a lot. You can live your life following this six principles, but I mentioned three. The first three is already very good. The first principle is 不争, means don't fight over things. Don't argue, don't try to be right and all those things. But the Mandarin word zeng is very good. Mo zang in Cantonese. Don't squabble with people, don't fight with people. Don't try to be right, don't argue and all those things. So, 不争. Then 不贪, the second one is don't be greedy. So, we all know the Dhamma. We know what greed is. Greed cover a lot of things. So when we have greed, we have selfishness, we have craving, we have desire, we have lust. Then we have a lot of covetousness too. So when we are greedy, we have motive. We want to take advantage of people. We want to cheat. We want to deceive. So that is the evil root of greed. That's why 不争, 不贪. Then the third one is 不求. 求 means must not have desire, craving. So sometimes people cannot understand. In life, I must have certain like good wishes, isn't it? I wish for my good health, my good life, and all those things. Is it wrong? It's not wrong if you wish. But if you crave for it, then it's wrong. So, 求 is 靠. So, in Mandarin, 求 become craving. Because you crave for it. 求 what? Good health. Wealth and prosperity. Good life and honesty. You can have the pure wish invoked through power of merits, power of truth, or whatever to arise through proper means. But if you crave for all these things, it's going to cause you suffering. You want to crave for good health, good life, prosperity. But when things don't go your way, what happens? That's why when you have a lot of this, what they call craving or 求, when you wish for a lot of this type of thing with craving, you will have problem. So I realize this three Mandarin word is very beautiful. 不争, 不贪, 不求. This three, you can cultivate them, it will expand on what the three evil roots are. And it will actually let you understand many things. Whatever you crave for is a prelude towards suffering. Then you cannot get what you want, you suffer. So the sixth principle, if I may recall, I remember Xian Hua mentioned 不争, 不贪, 不求, 不自私, 不自利, 不妄语. These six principles, which are all very beautiful. So if you can make them more simple, is to develop them into proper understanding by following certain principles. But those who know Mandarin will appreciate, will benefit from that understanding. Then when I heard them in the early days, I realized they were very useful. Actually, the first principle, 不争, is not easy to practice or cultivate. Do you realize in life, you fight over many, many things. 争, everything also want to compete, want to 争, want to argue, want to fight, want to get hold of it, and all those things. That's why that word 争 is very beautiful. Then when you talk about 贪, the Mandarin word 贪, the meaning is not greediness alone. 贪 has a lot of meaning. 贪借 also 贪. Then 贪玩 also 贪. 贪污 corruption also 贪. All this come from the word greed. So the Mandarin word actually has very beautiful meaning. Then 求, 求 also. A lot of things, 靠 one's soul, 靠 prosperity, good health. Then also wish for a good promotion, good exam result, and other things. So 求 is a very big aspect of negativity of mind state. So when I look at life, I realize these six principles were very beautiful, especially the first three. And it's not easy to actually keep them in line, cultivate them. Can you ever live your life by not arguing with people, put some, not competing, not like wanting things your way, don't want to argue over things, don't want to fight over things, don't want to become better than other people, put some. That's like 不争不贪不求. These are very beautiful practices if you can do it. Then 不自私 means not selfish. 自利不亡矣. So all this self-benefiting, telling lies, they have the evils behind. You are not selfish, you will not be greedy. You will not do all those deceitful things. You will not try to take advantage of people and situation. So all this become very useful Dharma training. So when you expand it, you learn. Then you can see your mental intention behind. Why must you fight over things? Why must you argue? Why must you want to be right? Why must you 争求贪? So all these are very deep in its meaning. When you understand your cultivation take off, you become different. It's no more the words, it's the understanding of what that word is. Then we realize human beings do a lot of these things. That's why they have a lot of evil mental intention. Everything also they want to argue, want to be right, they want to fight over things, compete over things. Demand this, demand that, and all that thing. This is for qiu. Demand is qiu. So, when you take advantage of situation, when you are authoritative, that is your selfishness. That is your egoic mind manifesting in the form of zheng, tan, and qiu. So all this, hopefully it will help you. So Manuel asked me to share this so that at least you all as cultivator can appreciate all this Dhamma. That's why I like the Mandarin saying, because it brings out the meaning. Although I'm English educator, but I can appreciate because those words were so beautiful. Okay, so with this, I think we will end. Then we will move on to our second session, which is reporting on meditation and also sharing of the Dhamma through Q&A. If you got any question, you can ask, or you can share regarding your cultivation and practices, Dhamma in daily life. Okay, we open up. You can just come in. Show your hand, then you can come in. Yes.
I just want to say thank you for sharing that three principles again. The objective I asked Brother Teo to share the other day because I find it very useful.
Because
I didn't realize that some of the things that you said, I was doing it because to me, those are not arguing.
Not only you, Manuel.
You know,
everybody.
So when Brother Teo explained to me, then I improved myself.
Your line is not clear.
So then definitely it will
help you.
Because I think that it will help me, and it will, like, you know, I would have a more peaceful mind
Yeah, definitely.
than what I'm having now.
Correct.
Sometimes I get upset or
yes.
not, especially
all
when
those,
I'm working that time.
Yeah, all those reaction of mine is violating the three principles.
Yes. Yes.
The three principles, when you look at it, like 不争, straight away, what are you doing? You are still arguing, want to be right. That's why you become miserable. You are not happy. So it can apply to work environment. It can be applied to your normal family environment, even relationship with your neighbors or whatever. Yeah, you can continue. Your internet like not very small. Still there?
Yeah, not very good.
Now okay. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah.
I sometimes it's the way that it is being said, that means it can be the same thing, but the people to react differently.
Yeah.
So I can say the same thing in a nice way. Then become more receptive.
Yes.
Or I can say the same thing again, but in a very like
negative,
not very. So yes.
Not sincere.
It, even though it is meant in a good way, or it is I mean the hope is for a good outcome to come out, but then if it's sent out in a very unpleasant voice, doesn't help.
Yeah, correct.
People
will
not listen to you.
Your voice, like,
and they will just shut you up.
Yeah. That's why you experience all those things. That's
so
why you
on the three principles.
Appreciate my sharing on that part. So that part, actually, a lot of human beings, before they know the Dhamma, they didn't realize they have a lot of this type of thing. They argue a lot. They fight over small things. They demand things. And all these are covered under the three principles. 不争不贪不求, you can perfect yourself with these three principles, then you realize your life becomes simple. Then you will try not to argue, fight over things. Manya, your connection is not so clear. Can you, your internet, can you refresh?
Maybe I leave and come back, but it's okay. I have finished what I want to say.
Okay, good. Thank you. Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Any more questions? Or any sharing?
So, thank you.
Thank you. Sadhya.
No more questions.
No more questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for your sharing. Sadhya, yes, Christina. Is,
sorry, I'm trying to
it,
but I cannot get it. Suki Honto, Brother Tio.
Suki Honto, Kong Sun Pasai.
So actually, I just now what Manying was saying about
put and put you. You know Mandarin, is it? Do you know Mandarin, Christina?
I can understand a bit.
put zeng, you know what is zeng or not?
We don't fight la.
Don't fight, don't argue.
But when we are learning, like you see, when we are in work also, like what Manin trying to say also, sometimes it's not that we wanted to fight for our rights, you know. It's to our understanding, like, for example, during my work time, like people give me a deadline. So when we are arranging work,
scheduling your work.
The people who arrange the work also they know. And then they keep us. And then suddenly they change the date, you know.
Yeah.
So like how to say, very tough, you know, last minute.
Yeah.
Last minute, they want us to deal with the client. We have to go and face the client, and then sometimes it's also how to say, for me it's a. Luckily, I have Dharma lah. So
yeah.
Nicely to them, and then
right, yes.
Most of the client they will accept. But some of how to say difficult clients, they will. say some words that really hurt
me. Correct. Hurting, hurting words.
Yes. But from all this, we learn so much also.
Yeah. That's why you must thank them. Last time, yes. Master Xuan Hua always say, these are the people who help us in our cultivation.
Yes.
Without them, we won't learn.
Yes.
These are difficult people, he always says.
It's like to test how stable our samadhi.
Yeah, our cultivation is. Yeah. Enough then to provoke you and instigate you or make you feel like bosong in Hokkien. then you cannot see whether you had the cultivation or not. Then you will tend to react and stir your mind. Then you want to argue. Then it's become something already. Why must we argue? Like you say, if there is a deadline, if there is already agreed terms and conditions, the scheduling, normally what we do is we allow some leeway for our what they call program to be able to like reach the scheduled date for completion or slightly earlier. Unless there is unforeseeable thing, like they change the date, they change the rules, or you encounter certain type of condition where it has become impossible to meet that deadline. But because we have the Dhamma, we will know how to actually go about resolving it. Resolving it is not through argument, not through trying to be right. Resolving issue means explaining things to people. Then sometimes people's behavior is different. Sometimes the character of certain people, especially bosses, clients, sometimes they can be very nasty. One, they say, "I don't care. This is your problem, not my fault." So normally, what I do is I will laugh. I say, "Yeah. I must agree that is our problem. That's why we seek your kind understanding and consent." And you, when you say that, when you say you seek their kind understanding and consent, they become very different. No? Then they say, you talk nicely like that, then we will help you, we are willing to listen. But you come and achi acho and try to point finger at us, you get into big trouble. That's why you can, you admit, you say, yes, it's our problem, you are right. So we really would like to apologize for what happened. But this is something that is normal, you tell them, because in construction, in delivering a job, there are a lot of things that happen in between where people are not able to foresee or plan. So whatever happened, we have to resolve it. Resolving it is very important. That's why you say, I seek your kind understanding and cooperation to help us resolve this amicably so that we can move on, so that nobody lose out, so that we can still get the thing done. Instead of arguing, because when you try to argue, means you're protecting yourself, you don't want to be blamed. It's not about right and wrong. Right and wrong will not solve our problem. That's why I say the focus is on resolving issue, finding a solution, resolve it amicably so that everybody is not really affected, so that we can move on. And this is my understanding. That's why I resolve issue very well. I'm a problem solver. I can solve problem and issue very well. And I can even turn the project around from losing money to making money or didn't lose so much. There are a lot of ways to do things following the Dhamma way that can turn out beautifully. We don't have to be angry. We don't have to be unhappy. And we learn, like you say, you grow, you learn from all these experiences. For your case, I think very true, Christina. You do a lot of this type of yoga.
I think from listening to the Dhamma and then doing our meditation very diligently. Help a lot. And then we are more, the way we talk also, the clients will...
Correct. They will listen. Because you are sincere. You are calm. You are more cultured.
Help me a lot lah in my work. Before learning the Dhamma, it's really a very, very stressful.
Because you panic first, you worry.
Yes.
I always say no amount of fear, worry, anxiety or panic is going to help you out. So do you want to panic?
Not to say worry only, Brother Teo. Actually, we tend to say wrong things, you know.
Early day, you would like to fight. You like to argue. Yes. You want to cover your mistake or cover your backside. So they try to push the blame away. Tai Chi, they say, no point. If it's your mistake, admit it. Say, it's our fault, our problem. So that's why I seek your kind understanding and consent and help to help us resolve this amicably. So you say it this way, people more than happy to help you and listen to you. What is the problem? Come now, lay out. We talk. Instead of opening statement only, that guy, he insists on all this. When you start to point finger, four finger point back at you. So your hand has five. You point one out, four point back at you. So people is going to react the same way when you try to push the blame to them. So it will lead to argument. It will lead to misunderstand. So when all these things happen, the issue become negative. Then people's minds. They are affected already. So when people are unhappy, become afflicted or affected, they will react. It's a natural tendency. We are not everybody has Dhamma. But when you have the Dhamma, you are very cautious. You are very tactful. And you can see all this. That's why I was sharing from the essence of the infinite meaning, Wulian I Ching. The cultivator or the bodhisattva, their mind are always tranquil, peaceful. They will not react. They will not simply do things or say things. They are at peace. Their mind calm, composed. Then they have clarity. Then they apply Noble Eightfold Path. They resolve issues. They attend to things. They understand the Dhamma. They apply the Dhamma way. So all this makes a big difference. It can enable us to resolve issue amicably and live a good life. So, for your case is beautiful. Thanks, Christina, for sharing all this. Very good.
Actually, thank you for the teaching also.
You learn a lot, actually. You took the trouble to go and read up the Heart Sutta and all those things and participate in all the sharing. So you have changed a lot. You have benefited yourself and helped a lot of other people too. So you're able to now have the ability to actually benefit others. This becomes helpful for you when you are going to your career, your business, and all those things. Sadhu. Anything else, Christina?
No, actually, I think one word, that I always make the contemplation. Ever I have all these issue to resolve, I always contemplate as there is no one that I don't forgive, there is no one that I don't love, and there is no one
that... Oh, very good. That one is also a very good skillful means.
So it will make me more peaceful lah.
Yeah.
Must have some Dharma words
to
contemplate when we are in a very unstable, unstable emotion, or when we encounter with issue that make us because we can see like for me sometimes things don't go my way.
It's
not my way lah. I mean, cannot be scheduled as progress. So the will be like the sing bu an yang ah.
Yeah, correct. Sing bu an.
We already promised the client, and then like how the client will see me. Hey, how come you're not keeping your words?
So
I will make some contemplation first lah. Then
that will help you, yes.
Then do some metta, then only I start talking.
Metta is very important, metta. When I was young, when I came out to work, before I go for interview, before I meet my client or meet people whom I have to go and negotiate things or resolve things or promote the thing, I will always send metta, and that one help. Even go for interview. My first 5 interview I went after I graduate, all the 5 jobs I get, I had the offer, but I had to choose one. So finally I choose one. Then the other thing about metta is the book, the blue book that we have printed, you all should go and read through it. Well, inside one aspect of metta practice, that one can actually help you also, Christina. It's better than just now what you say. When you say there is nobody that you cannot forgive, there is nobody that you cannot.
I don't love,
and all that.
And I don't trust.
Yeah, and don't trust. But the one that I put in the metta book one is you contemplate using your understanding. Whomsoever I see, may I see with the eye of love. That one help a lot. It's everybody you see with the eye of love. Then whomsoever I speak to, speak with the words of love. Because you really have the love, the joy, the understanding. And you are not there to argue or get angry, then develop all the zeng. You are not there to do all those things. That's why when you see with the eye of love, speak with the words of love, you become beautiful, you become different. Everything is about love. Then you can appreciate life after that. Everything you see, whomsoever you see with the eye of love. You look at the world with love, with compassion, with kindness, with goodness, with sincerity, with honesty. All these are good virtue. So all this can help us to actually streamline our right speech, right action.
Yeah.
And right way of doing things.
Yeah.
So very good, Christina. Thank you so much for your sharing. So I think it's almost 10:30. We should end, unless you have something else to add. Do you have anything else to add, Christina?
Not really, lah.
Then okay, then we end. Thank you so much. Thank you to Manyuan and you for the good sharing. So we all rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And today, before I forget, we would also like to make use of today's sharing to maybe help Alicia's brother. Her brother just passed away, I think, yesterday. So some of you may have seen Vincent and the wife. The wife's name is Hona. They send the condolences message. I think a lot of Kayamita may not notice. So actually, Alicia texted me. Then I told her message. Oh, Vincent and family. So Vincent is very close to Freddie and Alicia. So the brother passed away, I think 60 plus, must be due to illness or what. Actually, she told me earlier on that she is seeing the brother because the brother was very sick, I think about 2 days ago. Then after that, I received a message this morning that the brother was already departed since yesterday. Then I say I will know what to do, so I will do the needy. So I radiate the metta and send whatever pure wish. Then tonight we will also invoke power of merits and share this merits with the brother so that he may have the good birth and all this thing. So let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have done over the past 2 to 3 hours of meditation, Dhamma sharing, puja, and all this rejoicing. May it arise, may this merits of wholesomeness be shared by all. Then may it also arise the causes and conditions for Alicia's brother to have the good life and the good love, the good life and the good birth in the hereafter, immediately after his passing away from this life. I asked Alicia, is he a Buddhist? He said, yeah, they follow the Buddhist tradition. So I think they have a Buddhist ceremony. I think tomorrow is the funeral, I think. Today is the week and tomorrow is the funeral. So it is hopefully the brother, because of his affinity with Alicia, and we as Kayamita will do our best. So we would like to wish the brother a better rebirth so that he can have the causes and conditions to learn this teaching, the Dhamma, to improve on their life so that they can have the good life in the hereafter. Then we would like to send our deepest condolences to Alicia and Freddie and his family for the passing away of his brothers. So we wish them all well-being and happiness always. And may the blessing of the Triple Gem, Buddha Dhamma, the Sangha be always with them all. Anybody?
Good evening, Guruji.
Alicia. Yes, good evening. Gong Xi Fa Chai still within Chao Gong.
Yes, yes. I want to say to Guruji and all the Karamita, thank
you. Sadhu.
Thank you.
So,
好，谢谢
Brother Tio
啊。
No problem， 嗯，啊，对，嗯。
啊 ，yes 啊 ，Brother Tio，yes 啊。
Yeah。
啊 ，Brother Tio and all families，
啊，是。Yeah。
No, I have nothing more to say, but again, really appreciate your teaching.
Oh, okay, and, okay.
Like today, you mentioned about the Putsan Putshu.
Putan.
Yeah, Putan. I recall, I think a few years ago when I was at the Achanan place, think I reported to you that the last day when I was about to depart at Achanan. So, when I was sitting at the mainstream there, because I was brought all my luggage from the hill to the mainstream there. Very tired.
It
was sweating all my whole body. So I was purposely looking for a place where I can get the fans. So and I sat down directly in front of the fan. The fan is like standing on the wall like Wu Bing Qing Se.
Stand fan.
Stand fan. So then after standing on the directions, then where I can receive the most of the fan. I'll just close my eyes and then I'll just sit, taking a rest. Then suddenly, about 1 minute, a few minutes later, the wind stopped, Then I was like, it couldn't be stopped, Then I opened my eyes. The fan is still moving, But there's no wind, And it's a dead corridor where there's no other, side wind to blow away anything, I was like, what happened? But I was too tired to move around, so I would just continue just to sit down.
You should continue to silence.
And then suddenly, the inside my heart, they came out with the word, Wuqiu.
Very like, good. I
was like shocked, I was like, I say, throughout my life, yes.
That's why you become very peaceful when you don't chew. Means you don't want things your way. You are able to have the wisdom to accord and flow. Means accept the reality of the moment. In fact, that is the Buddha's teaching. When he say whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. That is the wisdom. If you understand that, you understand Dhamma. Causes and condition means no need to know why, no win. The condition are that, it will be like that. Accept it. When you accept, you realize you are at peace, quiet, peaceful, still. Because you are very tired, very easy to go into stillness. Especially when you are very tired. You meditate very well. That's why when you are very tired, you just relax. You silent immediately. And you become very sensitive, your mindfulness become. Now you can do it because you have developed the mindfulness. Whenever you are tired, you relax, you straight away go into the meditative state very fast.
And then at that time, what happened was that when the words came out from the heart, I was like, fully agree and fully accepted.
Sahadu.
I was like, And then what happened was that the strange thing was that the wind came again,
It's like to show it to you. It's a Dhamma.
I turned on my eyes and then,
it comes back
still
to you.
Running. But now, but at that time, because I already accepted it, and I don't try it,
means
and
you
I was
pass
like,
the test. Yes, you pass the test. Sometimes all these tests, they come. Then when you have the Dhamma, you will find it very meaningful. Then you pass the test. So, a cultivator will encounter many of these. Then as they go through, they will understand more and more. That's why nature is very beautiful. And nature is very wonderful.
One I have a question is when we make aspirations, are we like, is it like put you?
No. Aspiration means you invoke power of merit through nature's law. Through understanding causes and conditions, it's not a chill, it's a pure wish. Pure wish means without that craving. The chill in Mandarin is with the craving. Chill, a lot of things is related to craving behind, especially the Cantonese word khao. Khao mien, khao choy. Khao san thai kin hong. So all this is, the wish is not a pure wish. It's a craving. Means you desire that mind state. You desire that good health, that prosperity. So qiu means you want things your way. Then when there is no condition, you are affected. You become unhappy. That's why the mind has slight aversion or unhappiness. Or sometimes people react and become unhappy, really unhappy. Then they become sad. So that is when you have craving, the opposite will happen and you cannot get what you want. So that is qiu. But when you make aspiration, it's based on understanding. Means you sincerely determine to take the vow, like the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva. Then you aspire to fulfill them. You vow. Vow means very strongly determine or aspire. Means it's not like you make aspiration on it. No, when you vow means it's very serious. You vow to do this. So the four basic vow of the Bodhisattva is a very heavy aspiration or aditan based on understanding. And we vow with sincerity, not for benefit, not for delusion and all those things. Out of love and compassion, you make that vow. Then when you make aspiration through power of merits or wholesomeness, it's evoking the nature's law. Because merits and wholesomeness is like your spiritual wealth. You can channel your spiritual wealth towards realizing certain things that are allowable. That's why you cannot make aspiration ridiculously where there is no condition or not, they call it not appropriate. Like, by the power of whatever, I vow to realize enlightenment today. Cannot. It's ridiculous. But when you make aspiration for causes and conditions for you to avoid the foolish, meet out with the wise, so the enlightenment in the here and the now can be realized sooner. This is possible. This one will go into the nature's law. This is not delusion, not craving. So, you can understand, you know?
Yes, I do. Yes.
There is a big difference. Because this one is born of understanding without craving. That's why pure wish, aspiration, they are not craving. That's why the Mandarin word I like, qiu. Lei mai kao, qiu. You make aspiration. Make aspiration means, what is the English word? Aspiration. You aspire for something, but you aspire through understanding. Pure wish, that's why I call it pure wish, not even a wish. Pure means without negativity. You invoke through wisdom, through understanding. That's why it's a pure wish. It's a pure aspiration. Then this aditan also, affirmation of truth, affirmation of mind, means you determine, you affirm that this is what you want for the good of the many. You arise it. When you develop the cultivation, you will know how to do them sincerely. And it's not with delusion on, without craving on. It's just pure determination or aspiration. That's why we call it vows, pure wish and all those things. Okay?
Yeah, sadhu.
Okay, thank you. I think we should end. Almost 10:50 already. So let us rejoice one more time, then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, so the final, maybe Chinese New Year greeting again. Gong Xi Fa Cai to all. Then maintain good cultivation, have good health, good mind state, and a good life. So wishing all Kaya Metta all the best. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you. And may this new year bring forth great progress in your cultivation. May the blessing of the Triple Gem always bless, protect and guide your nature. Guide you all. Okay, so we will end. Thank you.